Good morning. God had a plan for Samantha's song. In other words, Samantha had a plan for her song, but God had a different plan. This morning, we're going to be discussing plans. So kindly turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 4. We're going to be reading from verses 13 to 17. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. Verse 14, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It is here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let's have a short word of prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your presence here this morning. Our Father, we're about to look into your word, and we're asking your Holy Spirit for help. We pray, Lord, that he will guide us and teach us and give us understanding, so what we understand will be able to apply to our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. How many of us woke up this morning and your plans were to stay at home and log into Zoom for church this morning? But somehow the Holy Spirit brought you here. How many of us made plans to be here at church today, and you were determined to get here? Well, we all make plans. We make weekly plans. We make monthly plans. We even make long-term plans. Some of us put our plans in our phones. Others jotted down on a paper, others committed to memory. Our weekly plans might consist of, on Sunday, I'm going to go to church. On Monday, I'm going to go grocery shopping. On Wednesday, I'm going to clean the house. And so on and so on. Living without a plan is like traveling or existing without a purpose. Without a plan, you are planning to fail. The plans for one's life are extremely precarious. In other words, life is uncertain. The question I have for you is, what or who drives your plan? Who is the driving force behind your plans? Are you the driving force behind your plans? Let's look again at verse 13. Look here, you say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. In this verse, we have a business person who seems to be a go-getter. This person seems to be very well organized and goal-oriented. This person appears to have a good business mind and knows exactly what he wants. In verse 13, we see that the business plan was constructed. We see that the start date was determined. They will begin today or tomorrow. We see that the place was chosen, a certain town. We see that the period of time was calculated. Spend the time there. Spend a year there. We see that the business purpose was considered. Do business there. In other Bible translations, it says to buy and sell. We see that the objective was considered, and that was to make a profit. On the surface, there's nothing wrong with these plans. These plans are well thought out. As a matter of fact, if such a well-constructed plan was presented to a bank today, it seems like there'll be an immediate approval for whatever this person was looking for. Again, there appears to be nothing wrong with such a well-constructed plan. In fact, God wants him to make plans. God wants us to make plans. However, there is one problem. A big problem. There is no mention of God in all of this. Is this what God wants the person to do? Oftentimes we map out plans we want for our lives, and we want God to fall in line with our plans. We invite God in only after we get going and expect him to bless our plans. Proverbs 16 and 9, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. We need to pray about our plans each step of the way. God needs to be the driving force of our plans. Question: is God your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is God your steering wheel or your spare tire? Does God guide your daily activities, or are you only calling him when you're in trouble? The Epistle of James is a practical book of the Bible that was written to Jewish Christians that were scattered abroad. Early in the chapter, James encourages Jewish Christians to draw closer to God and warns them about judging others. Now he is warning them about self-confidence, pride, and boasting about tomorrow. These same Jewish Christians were great traders and business people. They seized business opportunities in various cities. Some of them were so immersed in their business pursuits that they forgot God. They were living and planning as if they control their own destiny. I would say that the creature has elevated themselves above the Creator because God was left out of this. James wants us to think about the plans we make in our lives and to keep God's purposes for our lives in mind. Making plans without God is a bad idea. James 4, verses 14 and 15 tells us why. I'll read 14 and 15 again. How do you know what your life would be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It is here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. There are three points I'd like to bring out. Point number one, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We can make plans, but life is uncertain. For example, having a government job in the past meant job security. However, we heard in the news that thousands of federal employees have been let go. Life is certainly uncertain. Point two, there's also the brevity of life. Life is short. James described life as a morning fog. that is here for a moment and then disappears. In Job 7, verse 7, Job described life as a breath. Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Point number three, in verse 15, we are reminded that Christ is speaking to believers today. We expect the world to make plans without God because they don't know God. But as believers, we have no right to ignore God's will. All our plans should be in the will of the Lord. Let's use the Apostle Paul as an example. Even the Apostle Paul sought the will of God. The same Apostle Paul who wrote more books of the Bible than anyone else, and is also regarded as one of the greatest leaders in Christian history. Acts 18, verse 21. As he left, however, he said, I will come back later, God willing. Then he set sail from Ephesus. Paul was asked to stay long in Ephesus to teach God's word. As he left, he said, you'll come back later, God willing. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 19. Again, Paul says, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. In the early days of the church, believers used to write DV at the end of a letter. DV is Latin for Do Volente, meaning God willing. Let's take again a look at verses 16 and 17. Otherwise, you are boasting about your pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. As Christians, our life belongs to God. God is in control. We are not in control. We should submit our plans to the Lordship of Christ. Planning for tomorrow without seeking God's guidance is essentially boasting about the future, a future that we are uncertain of. All such boasting is evil, self-centered, and sinful. Proverbs 27, verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let's look at a wealthy man in Luke's gospel who thought he had full control of his life. He also made plans without consulting God. He bragged about building bigger barns to make more money. His plan was to then take it easy and live off his fortune. Let's look in Luke to see what happened to this wealthy man. Luke 12, I'll be reading from verse 16 to 21. Luke 12, 16 to 21. Then he, Christ, told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God had other plans. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. What happened to this wealthy man? He died, and his plans did not come to fruition. This rich man was materially blessed by God. His land produced an abundance of crops. As God continued to bless this man, instead of him using his increase to further the will of God, all he was interested in was accumulating more wealth. The rich man replaced smaller barns with larger ones and began to plan his retirement. The rich man did not know that this was his last night alive. A godly life is shaped by regularly considering what plans God has for our life and making decisions consistent with God's desires. Let us be reminded that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Romans 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What is the will of God? It is simply God's purpose, plan, and desire for our lives. Isaiah 14:24. "It will all happen as I have planned. It will be as I have decided, saith the Lord." As Christians, whatever God allows in our life is for our good, even though at times life challenges can be difficult. If we don't see the importance of seeking God's will in our life, in essence, what we are saying, "God, I can do this without you." Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Being self-sufficient and relying on yourself is a terrible sin in the sight of God. Some say you are the master of your fate, the captain of your soul. The Bible says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." The world says, "Believe in yourself." The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." Nike says, "Just do it." The Bible says, "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." As life unfolds, we shouldn't serve God month to month, or week to week, or Sunday to Sunday, but moment by moment. God needs to be involved in everything, all the time. I have one question that I'd like you to think about. What in your life do you need to relinquish control to God? What in your life do you need to relinquish control to God? What do you have to let go and let God? If you are here this morning and God is not part of your plans, make him part of your plans today. Give God the steering wheel of your life. God has a purpose for you. The rich man in this story had no relationship with God, but God wants to have a relationship with you and to be part of your plans. We are all dependent on God for our next breath. The future is unknown to all of us, and life is certainly brief. After the service, you could speak to myself, or you could speak to someone who could direct you to someone who could show you from God's word how God can be involved in your plans. Amen.